I believe we left off a couple of weeks ago. Ramchal paid his visit on the way to Amsterdam, thinking that the matzav in Italy is unbearable. And the misnagdim, those who were against him, just did not let up, did not rest, and just continued to do anything possible, literally, to make his life unbearable. And he realized that there's no end in sight. And so the Ramchal therefore makes the decision that he's going to leave. His ultimate, of course, goal was to reach Eretz Yisrael, which in fact he did, ultimately, and that's where he was nifter. But en route to Eretz Yisrael, so the first step, he's going to settle in Amsterdam. But to go on the way to Amsterdam, as the Maisa is also en route on the way to a number of stations. By the way, Amsterdam was a very convenient place to stay also because it was a major place of printing of Jewish books at the time, and that was very, very beneficial for Ramchal, who of course was always writing Sfarim, and a place, of course, that's accessible to be able to print Sfarim, that would be Amsterdam, which was very accommodating for that particular fact. So on the way going to Amsterdam, as we had mentioned, and actually we got stuck there because we get into something else, if you remember, regarding Bianchi Vemden and his father and so on, Rabbi Ron Brady, he stops in Frankfurt, and there's mentioned that the Rav at the time was really a true Godel HaDor by the name of Rabbi Yankiv Katz. It's 1735 we're talking about. Yankiv Katz, also known as the Yankiv Poppers, he was really a great Goyen, and also wrote Shalus Echuvis Shev Yaakov. Just to mention, one of the psukim of the Shalus Echuvis Shev Yaakov, in the world of Hasidus is very well known that when it comes to Hanukkah, although the main mitzvah of Hanukkah is simply to light the Hanukkah lights, once you've lit the candles and they burn it for half an hour, you're yotze. Now, the Alpi Hasidus is very well known, there's an inyan, and the Hasidim practice it to this day, is that they don't just really walk away from the Hanukkah lights, but they actually are makpid to sit for a half an hour and actually be mistakim and look at the candles. You look at the Sefer Hasidus and the Bnei Yisoscher and so on and so forth, they bring out, because the Haneiros Halolu Kedushim, the Kedusha of the Hanukkah lights, and if you sit in front of it and you absorb tremendous Kedusha, the fact is that you are looking at those Hanukkah candles. But so this is not al pi halacha, this is al pi chasidus, and there's a big inyonim certainly in that. But the Shev Yankiv actually writes in a particular tshuva, substantiating, and his opinion is that it's al pi halacha, without going down the halachic parameters of that. But it's very interesting, he has no shaykhus to chasidus, this is talking about Germany, also about 1735, that particular tkufa. But this is simply, he had that opinion that al pi halacha, one should be sitting in front of the Hanukkah lights for half an hour. I say, as far as Germany is concerned, he was one of the only ones in that Kufa came out with the Shalus Echuvis. A lot of great, great Goyim. As I mentioned, the Shlach Kodesh was a Rav there, you know, in Frankfurt. Rav Brody was a Rav in Frankfurt. And so on. But he was the one who wrote the Shalus Echuvis Sefer. And again, as we mentioned, if you want to know, you know, the greatness, you know, of a Pesach or a Mechaber of a particular Sefer, well, if somebody writes a Sefer Shalus Echuvis where he answers Shalus, you try to find out, he says, who are those that asked him Shalus? And if you see that those who asked him Shalus were Gedol HaDor themselves, did you know what he was? Well, one of those who asked Shalus to the Shev Yankiv was none other than the Pnei Yeshua himself. Pnei Yeshua was a recognized Gedol HaDor. He was known as a Rabban Chakol B'nai Agoyla, literally, and whose form are being taught and being learned in Yolam HaYeshivis to this day, very much and very strong. And so Pnei Yeshua is one of those who actually, you'll find that Ishasu Shev Yankiv, who is one of those who asks the Shev Yankiv for his halachic opinion. And I believe we had also mentioned that, as a matter of fact, when the Shev Yankiv was nifter in 1740, who is the Mamalamokim who succeeded him? The Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua is the one who succeeds the Shev Yankiv in Frankfurt. Well, here we're talking about 1735, and the Ramchal makes his way on the way to Amsterdam. He stops in Frankfurt. Now, should say, it wouldn't be an underestimate to say that Rabbi Yankiv Poppers also was one of the greatest misnagdim against Ramchal. Not that he had ever met him, not that he knew anything personal about him, but simply because of the influence of the letters that he received from all the other Rabbanim, particularly Rabbanim of Venice and so on. As we said, they would be the main misnagdim against the Ramchal. And these letters went far and wide all over. And he received, you know, the information that were written in those letters against Ramchal, that he is deceitful, he's an imposter trying to claim Madrigas which he never really reached, and he's a man of fantasy and an illusions and a dreamer. All of these things simply to discredit Ramchal. And as mentioned, the climate still was quite under the particular situation and the tragic episodes of Shabtai Tzvi, and therefore anybody who really was considered or a mainstay, things out of the ordinary, you know, in the world of Kabbalah, except precisely somebody so young as Ramchal was certainly open to suspicion. And that's the way it was. So the Shev Yankiv, Reb Yankiv Katz Papas, was one of the great misnagdim of the Ramchal, Mipi Ashmur, quite simply. And here, the Ramchal, when he reaches Frankfurt, and that's where we got off target, because what does he do? Because the minig is, and protocol demands that you go visit the Rav of the town. And that's how we got out of the situation with regarding the Chamsi, Rabbi von Brody, who was also a Rav in Frankfurt, who made his way to Hamburg, and the Chamsi did not visit him right away, and he held it against him, and so on, as we read the writings of Rabbi Yankee Vendon himself, how he wrote it, the particular episode between the two of them, between his father, the Chamsi, and Rabbi von Brody. Anyway, so now we continue. So Ramchal had in mind, even though he knew an interesting thing, he wanted to do the right thing, which is the protocol to go and meet the Rav of the town, even though he knew that this was a Rav who opposed him. However, deep down he felt, look, he's opposing me because he doesn't know me. He never met me. You know, he was confident that if he goes and he meets him, he'll be mechaberim, and he'll have an opportunity to communicate with him, and then the truth will come out. The Shev Yakiv, the Bank of Katz, we're talking about, will recognize, in fact, the Emes, and all these things that were written about him against Ramchal, Kula et Sheker, mit Chalosav at Soifai, there's no truth to it whatsoever. That's what he believed. Lamaisa, he comes there, and as soon as he reveals his identity, everything in the world turns against him. The Shev Yankiv, right away, he summons his Beis Din, the Beis Din of Frankfurt, and they begin to question him back and forth and everything, and they began to speak to him harshly, and they took him to task, and they were mezalzel and discovered in others, clearly they, as it was the lowest of the lowest, the embarrassment and the shameful type of things that they said against him, as if he was a man of the street, literally, they did not spare, did not mince any words, mamish, to be mevaze him and to lower him and to shame him and to embarrass him. They even imprisoned him. They incarcerated him for about a day, and the next day they had him brought to the Beis Din of Frankfurt, and they presented in front of him a new document to sign. And in that document, you have to realize, was a document that he would be forced to make embarrassing admissions, things that are not true, that in other words he should sign and confess the things which is totally untrue, because they believe this true, namely, that everything that he claimed to be until now was false, it was deceitful, he was proposing to be someone that is not, of all the things that he had claimed, that he had neshomis men shemayim coming to visit him and to see him and so on, and he would make tikkunim, he should denounce that, it never was true, I made it up, it's false. He should also, regarding the claim that he personally was zeichet to have learned Torah from a Magid, a Malach that came and revealed Chidush Torah, and he wrote Sfarim, which was dictated to him by the Magid, he should also say, it never happened, it's not true, I made it up all by myself, it's false. And so on. You can imagine when they presented his document, they should really, really sign on something that is totally fabricated, with philosophy, and so there's not one iota of truth in there. How can anybody sign that? Of course, he refused it. He would not sign it. And the Beis Din of Frankfurt was very powerful. That they said to him, listen, if you don't sign it, number one, we'll put you in cherem. And in those days, you know, a cherem meant something. Put someone in a cherem means to be excommunicated. In addition to that, he says, they have the power to have him imprisoned for life. He'll never be able to leave there. In other words, in effect, what we're saying is his life will be over one way or another. His life will be over. Ramchal saw, he says, that all the stakes are against him. There's no way out of here. And anything, I have to get out of here. That's it. I just can't remain here. I can't survive over here. I do whatever I have to do. So reluctantly, he decided to bend to the request, and he signed that document. He signed the mamish, he had his signature, and I think he's saying that everything that I claimed, everything that is all, it was untrue. It was false. And figment of my imagination. You can imagine once they had that piece of paper, the Simchi Gedoyla that the Misnagdim, the opposition had. And also, you can also be sure that they had their own Federal Express to make sure that this goes far and wide, using those days, medieval times. It was not medieval, but it was still ancient times compared to our time, relatively. And they were Mepharsim B'chol Oilon. They were Mepharsim the Nusach, the text of the Ksav. And look here, we have it like black and white. We have Ramchal's signature on it. And they really thought, okay, now we have it, this is already finished, it's over with. However, the Rebbein Shalom has other plans. Despite the fact that he signed it, the Rebbein Shalom, you know, sometimes a person has to endure a lot of sorrows and a lot of pain, and he thinks, you know, that that's it. But then comes the Rebbein Shalom, you know, the wheels turn, and then there's another side. The sun begins to creep or struggle over the horizon. And Ramchal, so the next step, now he is potter. Once he signed the document, they got what they wanted. Now they let him free. So Ramchal now moves on, and he goes to Amsterdam. And it's a hafel of a fella that Amsterdam, Bechlal, disregarded all of the Lashon Hara. It was very, very unique. Because all over the place, you know, when you got letters from Rabbonim and Choshu Rabbonim against a person, and Ramchal, and all the things that they said about them, all the zilzulim, all the shkara, all the embarrassment, all the shameful things, they did not accept it at all. But they recognized the greatness of Ramchal, because he had people on his side as well, no less, first of all, than his Rebbe, who was a recognized God Ador, as we mentioned many times, Reb Shaya Basson, and so on. And Reb Shaya Basson also had people with him, and he always covered, Reb Shaya Basson always covered for Ramchal, to the side of Ramchal. Of course, it was his Talmud, but it was not just Talmud. Reb Shaya Basson was a God Ador, if it would not be true. As a matter of fact, there are letters, certain things that he wasn't clear. And he also maybe suspected something. He wanted an answer, and Ramchal wrote him the answer to explain. So Reb Shaya Basson wanted answers when he had questions, so it's not just blind. He covered for his Talmud because it was his Talmud. So Ramchal did have support, but the thing is that Amsterdam clearly disregarded all of the Lashon Hara. And he comes to Amsterdam, Atkerikav was a tremendous simcha when Ramchal arrives in Amsterdam, and they were mechabedim, literally they gave him kovod melochim, literally royal treatment. And there was a big gevir, a great Oisha at the time, who was an Odom Choshev, besides him being a Gevir, he also was a Tam Chocham. He took Ramchal into his house, he gave him lodging, he says, you stay here as long as you want, and we will support you and give you whatever you need. You should be able to do whatever you do in your Avodas Hashem, which is an amazing thing. And for all Ramchal was going through, to be able to find sort of like a safe haven and a roof over his head was going to be safe. And the Chiddush is even more, because in spite of the fact that the Misnagdim, the opposition, they didn't stop then. When they heard that he's going to Amsterdam, they began writing letters. The opposition continued to write letters to Amsterdam that they should drive him out. You know who you have over here? Like you're harboring, you know, the worst criminal in the world. Chase him out. Be mechabed him. How are you being mechabed such a person? In spite of that, they ignored all those letters, which is really interesting. You would be like Shleikah Derech HaTeva. You can see that clearly the Kodesh Baruch Hu decided, you know, finally, the Tzaras are going to come to the end, and now he's going to be able to live his life a little bit more tranquility, and that he was Zoichim. So in spite of all those letters, they ignored all of that. But again, they recognize that they have an awesome holy man, an Ish Kodesh V'Noyra, that is among them. And this was the beginning of having the ability, having a little bit of comfort, a little bit of rest, you know, and respite from all of the sorrows that he had till now. But it's an amazing thing, in spite of all the sorrows that Ramchal went through, He writes in quite a number of letters, he says, I never once questioned, he said, the Rabbi Nishlam says, why I'm going through all of this, he says. Whatever the Rabbi Nishlam extends to me, he says, whether it's going to be chesed, or whether this, I don't ask, he says, tzadik v'yosher hu, because Baruch Hu knows the reason. In the world of Hasidus, it is said that the Magid, you know, the successor of the Baal Shem Tov, you know, Rebbe Rebbeir of Mezlich said that the world clearly was not ready, you know, for the illumination of the Seidus HaTorah and the secrets and all the things that Ramchal had the ability to be able to reveal. The world was not ready, was not at that madrega, and the Satan put in all the koiches to be able to block that tremendous surge and forces of Kedusha to be able to succeed at that particular time. He said, I never questioned Rabbi Nishlam. He says, why I am going through this, but he did say one thing, all those that are opposing me, I can tell you clearly, it's not L'Shem Shemayim. That's what he's saying. A lot of them were great Rabbonim, famous Rabbonim. But it's not L'Shem Shemayim, he said, very clearly. He said, there's no reich of chassidus, not even a vestige of piety, he said, in what they're doing. Sometimes it's half L'Shem Shemayim, it's half not L'Shem Shemayim. He said, there's not even a reich of chassidus in it. Not even a chelik, not even a small portion of L'Shem Shemayim. There's no aspect of L'Shem Shemayim in this. It's stam, he said, there's kinner, there's jealousy, and it's sinas chinam, and so on. And he says, Barakosh Baruch Lamais, at the end of the day, spared me and saved me. So for now, we're just going to leave it at that. It's not completely over, but a component, at least we see a little bit now as how Ramchal is progressing now to a different stage in his life. So we go now, Rabbi Yisai, to the Derech Hashem. Where we left off, it's Daf Mem Hei in your edition. It's the last line, sort of towards the end of the last line. Ochein. Okay, we have Daf Mem Hei. Daf Mem Hei, you'll see on the bottom, last line, towards the end of the last line. Okay. Machal, of course, we find in all of the various paragraphs discusses the purpose. What man's purpose here was brought here by Olam Hazeh. And Machal points out that every aspect in this world that Kishbohi created is supposed to be utilized for the better. That every chelik in Hashem's creation is supposed to be utilized to promote Kvayt Shemaim in one way or the other. And here Ramchal goes on a little bit to explain the conditions for these activities. Ramchal goes on to say, Ochein ma she'odam mishtamish min ha'olam l'tzochoy. Regarding what a person uses from the world for his own needs, talking about now for the physical world. Regarding what a person uses from the world for his own needs, so hinei tzarech tchilo sheyeh mugbal b'gvul ritzoin yisbarach shemoy. Firstly, a person has to know it's not free for all. Because Bogi created a world does not mean that you can take out of the world whatever you want. There's limitations. In the same way, on both sides, there's law and order, right? Within every government, every country. Every country has certain laws and order, whether it's traffic lights, whether it's drivers, whatever the situation is, there are certain laws. The same because God created a world, and there's many, many things. The world is here at large. The world is available. However, the world is available according to the laws and the limitations. You have to make sure that it should be limited. Limited by what? By the limits that are imposed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Haino meaning, Shoyir Boy Dovar. A person, what he uses from this world should not be anything, should not consist of anything. Should not consist of anything that Hashem withheld and he prohibited. Those things that Hashem withheld from you, those things that Hashem prohibited from you, these things are not for you for the taking, although you have the choice, but you don't have to give them a cheshbon. So again, yes, the world is here for you, however, it is within the limitations that cannot consist of anything that Hashem has withheld and Hashem has prohibited. Part of the situation is, if a person, of course, is hungry, doesn't mean they can eat whatever he wants, even though medically right, you can eat this, you can eat that, however, there are laws. You have to eat kosher food. So again, here you have a limitation. You have a limitation that the food that's going to eat is not going to be prohibited. Right? And also regarding situation when dealing, for example, in the ace of monetary issues, there are halachas and kosher mishpat, but how are you supposed to deal in yonim of money? Then you can just take whatever you want. So this is one area of limitation. Another thing, limitation. Bishloyir Elohoroyal Libriyas Aguf. What you use from this world has to be something that's suitable for one's health. Make sure, here you see very clearly, yes, smoking, shouldn't be smoking. Unfortunate. Things that are detrimental to your health, or certain foods, right, which are unhealthy. Because Baruch Hu gave you food to eat, he gave you a world. But you have to make sure, says Ramchal, you make use of it in a positive way. It should not be things only Elohoroyu, again repeat, Elohoroyu Libriya Saguf. Should be something that's suitable for a person's physical well-being. And the Kiyum Chiyusoy Alatsada Yoshatoyf. It should be for the purpose, for a person's maintenance, right, to be able to live in the best and the most healthy way. Which means to say, then additional, it's not enough that the food is kosher. It's not enough that the food is kosher. But also, says Ramchal, it should be something that will contribute to the person's well-being, to the person's health, right, and not harm him physically. That's all part of the limitations that Kadosh Baruch Hu placed on a person from what he takes from this world. A person should not be influenced, the next line, says Ramchal, further. A person should not follow or influence, right, based upon his natural tendency. Because based upon a natural tendency, people want many things which are against their good well-being and their physical well-being. So a person should not be influenced. Hachoymer is his material being, his physical being. There are inclinations. And, right, for gratification, for pursuing things which are for the sake simply, which is called moiseris, which is something which is not really needed. It's simply excessive pleasure. Pursuing what's called superfluous desires, points out the Ramchal. In other words, Ramchal points out again, what happens is, because if a person, he made a statement, you make sure that you eat healthy. Well, if you make sure you eat healthy, then you can't be somebody who's really caught up, right? Caught up and losing control in the area of physical desire. Because if a person, basically, loses control and he is influenced by his physical desire, that means he'll eat things that are unhealthy because he desires it. It also means that he may eat abnormal quantities, also simply because he desires it. So in order to be able to keep within the purview, as mentioned before, that whatever it takes from the world, it should be, first of all, it should be legally kosher, right? Whether it's food, legally kosher, whether in the area of in your business life, whatever the situation is, but also it should be physically healthy. Horoyal Libriya Saguf. And therefore a person should see not to get caught up, right, in the world of moisturous, means pursuing is an extra or excessive desire. The Yir HaKavon Aboy. Now, the intention, whatever you take out of this world, right, of course you have to live. So you have to take out of this world whatever is necessary in order to live. But the intention, HaKavon Aboy, the intention that are associated with the things that you take from this world, is for one main purpose. Whatever you do in this world, yes, you're eating to sustain yourself. Right? You have to make business to sustain yourself, to maintain yourself. But what is the ultimate goal of all of that? The ultimate goal is Liyos Haguf Muchen Umezuman Lishtamish Memeno Hanishoma Litzorech Avodas Beroi. The idea is to have a healthy body to allow the Neshoma, right, to serve the Creator, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means is that the idea behind the usage of anything in this world should be that what I'm doing is for the good of the neshama, it's not for the good of the goof. Yes, for the good of the goof should be healthy. But the purpose is, why do you have a healthy goof? What's the whole purpose of living? The whole purpose is not for any personal want or any personal desire for its own sake, but the idea is to enable the neshama to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, appropriately. The neshama should not feel handicapped, because you don't have a healthy goof, you don't have a healthy neshama either. And if your goof is not in order, then the neshama becomes handicapped and it's not able to reach the madregas that it should be capable and what the purpose is. So again, the purpose is to use the goof in an appropriate way, that the neshama should not be held back, because the goof is not prepared and the goof is weak. So the weakness of the goof is something that of course hinders and handicaps, he says, the positive qualities that the neshama should be able to achieve. So now, if a person is successful, when a person succeeds, when a person, meaning, uses the world in this manner, meaning again, a person uses the world so he should be physically able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so now hine yemotzei, so now it comes out, hatashmishahu ba'atzmoi, it means that this usage itself, the very usage of the material world, becomes a mitzvah like putting on film. In other words, eating, sleeping, whatever you're doing in this world, if the ultimate purpose is to be able to better serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to whatever you're doing becomes a mitzvah in its own right. Anything you do in this world, when you're driving your car, but the purpose ultimately is to be able to live a better life in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. So everything that's involved, everything that's involved becomes elevated again. Hatashim Shahu, that usage of this world, ba'atzma, in its own right, poel hashleimus kemoi shezachanu, it brings about perfection as we have mentioned above. Again, as Ramchal mentioned above, actually in section 4, that it's possible for a person to achieve perfection through the physicality itself and through bodily occupation. Yes, through the bodily occupation he's able to achieve perfection. But before, he explained originally, that's through doing mitzvahs. Now the Ramchal tells us that even, he says, that even fulfilling one's personal needs can also lead to that kind of perfection. The Yikna boy, right? And he's able to acquire, again, by using this world, by using this material world, by being involved in the physical world, he's able to acquire, if you do it right, you're able to acquire Maila Amitis, right? The true advancement, true Mailas. Kamai, in the same way, She Yikna B'Masa Kol HaMitzvahs Kulay. Unbelievable, we're saying. So anything that you do in this world is able to lead to perfection in the same way that a person will acquire through the deeds of all the mitzvahs. Through all the mitzvahs. So again, so if a person utilizes, right, anything in this world for spiritual growth, if you utilize anything in this world, anything, you utilize it for spiritual growth, then that can bring you to the same idea of Dveikus Bashem, the same way as the performance of a mitzvah, of the actual Mamish mitzvah. Can do. Why? Ki gam zeh mitzvah aleinu. Because all this is also mitzvahs. Everything. In other words, everything that you do in this world, the mitzvah is to try to direct it, that the ultimate goal should, to promote Kavod Shemayim, to do B'Shem Shemayim. And thereby you're elevating anything in this mundane world to bring it to perfection, and you yourself become perfected. Because the mitzvah is, as he says, ki gam zeh mitzvah aleinu lishmar es gufeinu b'hachone, haguna. We have a mitzvah, he said, to watch over our bodies. Our bodies should be properly prepared. Bachona aguna, v'shenucha lavet boyz b'reinu, so we're able to serve our Creator through it, through the body. So this is the klal. So this is the klal what Ramchal tells us, v'nishtamish mo'olam, and therefore we use this world, lekavona zu, u'letach lezeh. We use this world with this kavona in mind, and for this purpose. This means here, it's not to have desire for excessive things in this world, but ultimately, it should be to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. Yes, my boy, so vacation is an important thing, yeah. But ultimately, what's the tachlis? The tachlis is that you come back invigorated, come back with a fresh kayak, you're able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sleeping is a very important thing. So what does the Shulchan Aruch say? The person goes to sleep is with the intention, with the kavanah, he gets gabir kari, lavaydis habayir, he gets up in the morning, he's able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. So there is not anything in this world that you're able to do as long as your mind, right? As long as your mind is focused, that I'm doing this to be in better condition, to be in better shape, to be in a better situation, to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so all of that becomes elevated. Anachnu mis'ali mis'ed b'masa hazeh. We become, as he points out, as he says here, Lishmas Gofeinu, right? You should use it, right? Gnimtsinu, so it comes out, Anachnu Misalim B'mas Hazeh, so it comes out that we become elevated through this action. In other words, we bring it into the realm of mitzvahs. We bring the mundane of this world, we make a mitzvah out of it. We, through our actions, through our kavanah, make a mitzvah into it by doing it for the sake of Shem Shemayim. So therefore, we itself, we turn non-mitzvahs into mitzvah, he says. For Olam Hazeh, so not only we become elevated, but the entire world becomes elevated, because the world becomes the tool of a vehicle to Avodas Hashem. So it's not just that we become elevated, but the entire world becomes elevated. The world itself, he says, becomes elevated through the action, he says, through what I'm doing. Why? Because the world, because it turns out that the world is Oizel Yodom, the world has assisted man, Lishayavoid as Boiroi is Baruch Shemoi, you should be able to serve the Creator, to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So quite simple, very simple examples. You have a person, let's say, who eats bread, right? You give him energy. And he uses that energy, right? He's able to study Torah better. He's able to give tzedakah better. He's able to do acts of chesed better. He's able to be kinder to another person. Maybe he's able to daven better. So when someone eats a piece of bread, which gives him energy to study Torah and so on, so now the bread is brought into the realm of Kedusha. That bread now is brought into the realm of Kedusha, and now it becomes elevated because the bread now assists the person in his Avodas Hashem. But even more than that, what about the ingredients that's in the bread? You see, the bread enabled him, right? Bread gave him energy, so now he can serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu better. Now the bread itself is also not in isolation. The bread itself has ingredients. So it means, therefore, so all of the ingredients that's used to make the bread, right? And the land which produced those ingredients to make the bread, which gave you the energy to serve Hashem better. And what about the tools that were needed to plow the ground and ultimately plant the seeds and plant the wheat? So all the ingredients, so comes out that man at the end elevates not just himself by eating that piece of bread, he elevates the piece of bread because it gives him energy to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but all the ingredients in the bread become elevated, the land which produced the ingredients becomes elevated, the tools that were used in order to reach the stage, the entire world, everything that contributes to this becomes all, as Ramchal says, the world at large becomes elevated because the man has therefore utilized this world in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now Ramchal points out of all the different attributes because Ramchal wants to detail basically some fundamental ways how a person comes closer to Hashem even while he's in this physical world. What are the fundamental ways for a person to come closer to Hashem while we are in this physical world? Ramchal says you have to concentrate on two aspects. In other words, included among things that a person has to, yagbir means has to reinforce. Pritchard reinforces in himself that's Huahavo Vahayiro Leboiro Yizborach Shemoy. A person has to work on these two attributes, and that is the love of Hashem and talking about the fear of Hashem. Now, Ramchal is not talking about the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. Mitzvah Ahavas Hashem is a mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. He's not talking about the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, as Hashem Lekechotira. Ramchal basically is talking about that whatever you do has to be a love of Hashem, and also it has to accompany us. All mitzvah, no matter what mitzvah you do, I put on tefillin, I do it because I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by the way, Yira does not simply mean fear of punishment, as Ramchal will point out over here. Yira means standing in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, understanding who is the one that commanded these mitzvahs. A person has to try to reinforce, he says, these attributes, as he points out. For who? And what we're talking about is, Sheyeh Mizboinein, a person should take time to reflect. A person takes time to reflect. Al Goydel Roy Memusa Yisbarach Shemoi. Should reflect upon the greatness of Hashem's, right? Of how high, how great Hashem is exalted. And at the same time, Oitzim Shiflas Odom, the extreme insignificance of what he is. A person tries compares these two things. He'll recognize that he has to therefore bend before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'achnia atzmoi, he subjugates himself, Lefonov Yisbarach Shemoi, V'yevoi Shmeroi Memusoi. He submits himself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he feels embarrassment in front of Hashem's greatness. In front of Hashem's greatness. In other words, so Ramchal points out, at the same time we stand in awe of Hashem's greatness and we realize how, he says, how new we are. and this idea between the two, so now what does a man recognize? His own insignificance. He recognizes Hashem's exaltedness that gives him a drive to try as much as possible to become attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yechoshiku Misave, he should have a yearning, should have a desire, Liyaz Min Ha'Oivdim Lefonov, to be among those who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the Avodah Sodom. In other words, in the Mesilas Yesharim, Ramchal actually points out that the love of Hashem requires for a person to truly, he has to yearn, and he has to desire to become close to Hashem. That's what loving Hashem means. Loving Hashem means that I have a constant yearning and desire to become close to Hashem. In other words, it comes out automatically. You might remember that there is a pasuk in Yirmiyah. A chokham should not boast, right, about his chokhmah. A yishalo la gibor b'gvurosoi, or a gibor as mighty and strong as he thinks he is, should not boast about his gvur, because compared to Hashem, he's nothing. So what are you? You're nothing. You know, somebody, you know, the pasuk Yoshim b'shamayim Yitzchak, Kadosh Baruch Hu sits in heaven, you know, Elach, the Velt says, Mensch tracht and Gott lacht. If you think about it, you know, a person, you know, this big Balgaiva, you know, he thinks he's so mighty and high. You know, if you take a ride on an airplane, you know, you look down, you see that the tallest buildings are really nothing. And then you see some spots on the ground, and you find out that these are people, supposed to be people. This is Balgaiva down there, thinks he's so great. Kadosh Baruch Hu sits way up high, he looks down and sees, yeah, Yoshim b'shamayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu sits up there, Yitzchak, he's just last. He looks at this Balgaiva who thinks he's really something. He's just a spot, you're barely a speck, you're nothing. You're nothing, he says. So what does deserve? What is praiseworthy? What is praiseworthy is one thing. That the fact is that what? That you're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what's worthy. That is something praiseworthy. When you praise Hashem, then that makes you praiseworthy. Right? You become exalted by Hashem's greatness by being close to Hashem. That's the only thing that makes you something. That makes you worthy. Ki Eile, these two things, which two things? Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, these are two fundamental things. These are Emsoim Chazokim. These are two powerful, right, mediums. Hamikarvim or Odom El Boiroi. These are two very important, strong, right, tools that bring a person close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hamizachichim es Choshech HaChomer. The love and the fear of Hashem, they purify the darkness within the physical being of man. In other words, the physical being of man is total darkness. What is it? It's Ofer Min Adoma. It's a cloud of earth. What is man? The physical part of man. It's Ofer Min Adoma. What shines light into it? What purifies the darkness within the physicality? That's the love and the fear of a person has of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Umazhirim Zohar Neshama. And that causes the Neshama to radiate in all of its brightness. Uma'alem Es Ha'odom. And ultimately, it raises man Me'ilu Le'ilui. From one step to the next step, going higher and higher, Achiyasi Kurvosa Yisborach Shemoy, until he attains a state of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, this comes about through the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So basically, this is what Ramchal says. If you want to come close to Hashem, work on your Havas Hashem, work on your Yiras Hashem. By the way, you know, the Sasana says very beautifully, he says, how are you able to command a person to love Hashem? Love is an emotion. Love is an emotion. You can ask a person to do something, whether you like it or not, I can force them to do something, but to ask or to command, or have to Hashem, they have to love Hashem. Well, either you do it, the marshal we commonly give is, you know, Hashem can command you, you can't eat on Yom Kippur. They can't command you not to be hungry on Yom Kippur. Either you're hungry or you're not hungry. When it comes to an emotion, either it's there or not. How can I command you to love something if you don't really... So Sami says the answer is quite simply. It means that every Yiddish neshama, there's an ingrained a love. It's a natural ingrained love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the same way that there's a natural love that a child, a baby, right, has to his mother, has to his parents, which is by nature. You see it even by animals. Lahavu, you see the same thing. The ingrained nature, the closest. The answer, if you don't love Hashem, is why? Because the love the natural love that has been blocked due, he says, to all of the outer shells and the trappings that we are surrounded, he says, in this world that's the opposite of Kedusha surrounding us. The mitzvah, in other words, in effect, v'hatas Hashem Elokecha, is to remove the blockages and to allow the natural ahava that's within you to be able to come out and to be able to cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a natural b'teva in the Yiddish and Neshama to have that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's take a look, Rabbi, here at the sheet here. We see a number of items here. This poem we saw here from the Ramchal. We take a look here, just as a few lines of advice. The first item is from the Mesilas Yesharim, of course. The other Sefer, the Ramchal, in Perek Yud Gimel. And we're looking at Perek Yud Gimel, discusses precious, what abstinence means. Now abstinence, let me just say, just right at the outset, Ramchal said very quickly, abstinence is also something that you work a little by little. We're not asking you, you know, to deny the world. Just the opposite. Everything that's in this world is supposed to be used for the positive, and that is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, there are many dangerous things that they get involved with. So I'm going to say to you, okay, I'm going to use everything in this world with the kavana. You know, I'm going to use it, l'shem shemayim, I'm going to use it to be, but at the end of the day, maybe just the other way around. Instead of you elevating that object, the object is going to lower you. So therefore, there is a mahalach in life, which is the level of chassidus, going to a higher level in avodas Hashem, is called frishus. And here are just some of the examples. When the Voyer Atos says the Ramchal and Mesilas Yeshoyim, he says hatoiv, because frishus also has a downside. I'm telling you now about the positive side of frishus, what's called abstinence. The Noima, and we'll say the following. I've already explained to you, says Ramchal, and he's talking about the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim. I already explained to you. The fact is, everything in this world is challenging. Everything in the world, why? Because it can be used for good and can be used for bad. And many, many times there's an inclination, person has an inclination to get to go the wrong way. Because these are the natural desires of a person. Everything in this world on its seriousness. Everything. I already wrote about it above. Boy, chachnuhu berayis, and I've proven it, he says, with proofs. The Isamas Lonu Gam came, and what became very evident, very true, Roiv Chushas, man is very weak. And therefore it's dangerous to come close to areas where you may fall. Man has weaknesses. The kirvas datoy el horoyes. Man has an inclination dapke to go, right, to things that are bad. Yizbore behechrich, so therefore the outcome is shekoma sheyuchel odom lehimolet minyon. Therefore you have to try to escape. Because being that wherever you go, there's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of things here that are lurking out there trying to trap you. Therefore the idea is not to come close to the trap. Be a foolish person to say, you know, I'll come close to the trap, I'll walk around the trap. It's very dangerous. If you just slip, you'll fall into the trap. So the idea, therefore, is to try to escape. Right? And these are the appropriate things to do. To be careful from falling into the bad which is in the wake of certain paths that you may take. He goes on to point out the following. There is no worldly pleasure. Here's what Ramchal says. Every worldly pleasure has a danger that there's on the other side, right? Something that'll lead you to sin. That's the way it is. There is a side. There's a side to it. It doesn't have to be. But Ramchal is warning you. He says, let's repeat again. There's no worldly pleasure that does not have a downside to it. There's now the downside to it that'll lead you to sin. Ashal Yimoshech or Yimshech Akron Ezechet. And I'll give you an example. Derech Moshel. Talk about food, eating and drinking. Not talking about kosher food. 100%. Right, with the best Heksher. 5 Heksher on the bottle. Now, he says, Derech Moshel. Hamachel Vamishte. Take eating and drinking. And we're talking about Kishinuku Mikol Isur Ehachila. Avada is purified from any Isur. Right? Hinei Mutor. Avada is Mutor. If it's kosher, you're allowed to eat it. Omnom, however, what about filling your stomach with food? It's kosher food. Does that mean you should fill yourself over and over? Or you should gorge on food?
On the milui hakeres, but filling oneself, stuffing oneself, moishich achrot prikas oil. What it does is ultimately you lose control, and as a result also it distances you from serving Hashem because you're into something else which is very strong. Or mishte hayayin, we know what happens if a person indulges in drinking wine, moishich achrot aznus. What happens is wine leads to immorality, as we know. Ushar minim roim. Yes, see, people say, you know, we're drinking and. No, what's the old phrase? One thing led to another. That kashas everything, you know? No, it didn't lead one thing, didn't lead to another. You let it go to the other thing. It just didn't happen by itself. So that's Usham in Rome, it's on other things. Kol Shekem. Now, this is even sometimes, even occasionally. Imagine if a person habitually is into stuffing himself, gorging himself, or into drinking. We know that drinking, right, removes all types of inhibitions, and that's what he's saying. Kol Shekem should be yoyis or other margil. If a person, right, habits allows himself to get into the habit, right? He stops himself eating and drinking and so on, he indulges in that. Or excessively. He says, Hine, first of all, if a person gets used to something, becomes addictive. So what happens is, he's not able to support that habit. You know what happens is? He's going to rob, he's going to steal. We see what happens to people who need drugs. To support that, that's what happens. He's not going to say, okay, so once I'm not going to have it. It doesn't go like that. Because he already develops the need, that becomes part, by the way, and that happens in lifestyles also. People live certain excessive lifestyles, and then business sometimes is not the way it always was, and they can't afford that mortgage, you know, that mansion maybe that they built that originally could, and all the other things, and they get into a lot of trouble. So now they have to borrow money, right? High interest, and then one thing or another, they can't pay the interest, and just one thing just leads to another. As exactly this is the words, this is what Ramchal was saying. Look, the person indulges, right, and becomes addicted to a particular situation. If it turns out that once, right, he'll be lacking his regilus, his habit, yichavlo is going to really hurt him, he's going to pain him. The yargishmoid, he's going to really, right, feel the loss. As a result, he's not just going to sit back. No, he can try to satisfy himself. So nimsehu machnis atzmoi now b'toikiv amal aschoire. What he's going to do is now, he's going to say, you know what? So now I have to work another 20 hours overtime, and v'giyis, right? And v'giyis hakinyan, in order to be able to acquire, he should have shulchonoi aruch kusoinoi, to have his table, right? Shabbat's table should be set the way he's used to. It means to be able to have the things that he wants to. Umisham nimshach, and you know what that leads further? El ha'ovel, to corruption, v'hagozel, and for gzeila, because he has to support that lifestyle that he himself has carved out for himself. Umisham, and there also, el ha'shvus, he begins to swear falsely. Why? Because obviously, if he's into corruption, right, or then it happens, is right, then he has to swear. And he's not going to want to admit, so he's going to swear falsely. And so on and so forth. He says, and ultimately, of course, and of course, he's not going to have a head for learning, and or for davening, or for avodas Hashem. But he could have been parted from all of that if in the beginning he wouldn't allow himself to get caught up. Had he not allowed himself to indulge. So a person has to always be on guard and to recognize, right, what is safe. It's not enough that it's kosher. That's the point of the Maharal saying. Food is kosher. A lot of things are kosher. But it doesn't mean that you have to, right, go excessively in that which is technically and legally kosher. And that's basically the point. So here, basically, with Ramchal said that everything, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, and we need, of course, to live, and we have to make sure that what we put into our mouths, it should be healthy. Things that we do should not be something which is against the Briyas Aguf. We have to make sure that we have a healthy body. We don't have a healthy body, then our neshama becomes handicapped. Well, here we know a common Mishnah. Look at this Mishnah. Mishnah talks about in Pirkei Avos, he says, the Mishnah, Shloshei Shochlo Al Shulchan Echad. Three people sat at a table, the Yom Rol of Divrei Torah. In other words, only politics, and Lashon Hara, and Rechilas, at least Epizah Shtikl Dvar Torah, Kilo Ochlu Mezivchei Meisen. So the food that they're eating, again, with the best hechsher, but there is no Dvar Torah of any kind. Then it's Mezivchei Meisen, the Bartanur says, it's like eating from sacrifices that were offered to Avodah Zarah. Extreme Lashon here, Mezivchei Meisen. Not like sacrifices of dead. Al shloisha she'ochlu al shulchan echad, ve'omru al of divrei Torah, is kilo ochlu mishulchano shel mokem baruch hu. You're eating from Hashem's table. Here you have a table, a regular table. You have regular food. Say it about Torah, all of a sudden this is no longer a regular table. This table becomes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's table. Imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Says, I want to invite you, come dine with me. Come into my house. Your house becomes a virtual Beis HaMikdash, because that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's table is. How does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Bizman she Beis HaMikdash Kayim, the Mizbeach was Mechaper. Right? All the korbanot that you brought on the Mizbeach, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash today. Bizman she Vein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Shulchonoi Shalom the Mechaper. It's the table. In other words, the eating and the drinking that a person does to receive energy. Table to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's like being makor karbonos on the Mizbeach, and there's another reason, because your table is symbolic of sharing with other people, able to give tzedakah, and therefore again, your table becomes like a Mizbeach, and this serves like a kapara, as if we had a Mizbeach. So let's take a look here, the Sefer Yayinah Shel Torah brings down the following, a little interesting maisala, cute little maisa. The Mishnah says, "Kilu ochlo mishulchan shel mokim." It's as if a person ate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's table. If you say it about Torah, we see from here that isuk b'Torah v'kiyum ha-mitzvus, if a person right is involved with Torah and mitzvus, it raises up ma'alim is da'agosu shel adam shulchanoi nasi shulchan gevoya. His table becomes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's table. By the way, if your table becomes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's table, then what's your house? Your house becomes a Beis HaMikdash. Because where does the Kodesh Baruch Hu live? Kodesh Baruch Hu lives in the Beis HaMikdash. So realize that a person is capable of transforming, his house becomes a Beis HaMikdash. It is Torah and mitzvahs in that house, it's no longer simply a house. It becomes transferred into Beis HaMikdash. So he points out here that Zoyz Dorash has Sabah Mislabotke, the altar of Mislabotke. That's how. The altar of Mislabotke says, based upon the Gemara Pesachim Daf Kuf Yedeis, the Gemara says there that Shiva Devarim Tzivah Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shua Benoi. The seven things that Rabbi Akiva taught his son Rabbi Yeshua. One of the things is, he said to him, Altikonis lebeischa pisoim. When a person comes home, don't enter the house, right? Simply just give a little knock. Even though, you know, it's only your wife, it's your own house. Look, you don't want to find whether it's your wife in an uncompromised position. Give a little knock. Altikonis lebeischa pisoim. Don't enter the house all of a sudden. And certainly not somebody else's house. The koshkin lebeis chavecha. Where does it come from? Where's the source of that? Where's this? Of course, it's a Gemara. But where's it from? The Kohen Gadol. Let's take a look. Or maybe Shem Rashi b'shem Medrash. So Rashi brings, right? Rashi brings the Medrash. Rashi. Rabbi Yochanan ki have ayel lebeisa. Rabbi Yochanan, whenever he enters his house, kashenich was lebeisa minaneya. Right, he would shake. Right, make a noise. Why? Because when the Kohen Gadol, right, came into the Heichal, into the Kodesh Kedoshim, it says, V'nishma koiloi bevoya el HaKodesh. The Kohen Gadol would bring out sound. Sound would be affected, right? Sound would be heard. Because the Kohen Gadol wore the meal that had bells in the bottom. So the bells, right, would be shaken, would make the noise, would come out. What's the question? Question is, the Kohen Gadol, when he went into the Beis HaMikdash, right, it said what? That he should be heard coming in. So what's the right that when I come into my house, I have to be heard? I'm a Kohen Gadol now, or am I going to the Beis HaMikdash? The Kohen Gadol, that's okay, there was a mitzvah to tell yourself, Nishma Koyim Bavoya LaKodesh. The Kohen Gadol, when he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, right, sound should be heard. He should be heard, make himself heard. But what's the right whenever Yid, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, somebody goes into your own house, What kind of dimin? What's Kohen Gadol? What shaykh is he after the Kohen Gadol? V'kach nishela sheila. The posik v'nishma koiloi. Right, that the sound of the Kohen Gadol is heard. That talking about the Kohen Gadol goes to the kippur. He goes to Kodesh HaKadoshim. Mamish in the highest mokem, the holy of holies. So what's the raya shigam kol Yehudi, that every yid who goes into lebeis bayis rogel, goes into regular house chay boi sadovish, the same thing? So the Alter Slobodka said, so what do you see from here? From here we see that Chazal have compared the Jewish home, right, to the Kodesh HaKadosh in the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal have compared the Bayis Yehudi Lebeim Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? And they have shown something. Hem bitu kavona muka. They have expressed a very deep kavona. Ki ochem. Because in fact, Oymer HaSaba. Bayis Yehudi Mesugoliyas Bebchinas Kodesh Kedoshim. Because the truth is, a Yid is able to elevate, you can elevate your house to become a Kodesh Kedoshim. What made the Kodesh Kedoshim holy, by the way? Why was it called Kodesh Kedoshim? What made it holier? It had the Orin. What's the Orin? The Orin is the Torah. If you have Torah in your house, you're the same thing. You're a Kodesh Kedoshim. What made the Kodesh Kedoshim holy of holies? More than any other part of the Beis HaMikdash, because it had the Orin over there. If you have the Torah in your house, you have the Orin over there. Your house becomes a virtual Kodesh Kedoshim. Hein Kodesh Kedoshim Niskadish Bizchus HaOrin Shenitzav Boi Ubebayis Yehudi Sheboi Nitzav Orin Shavisforim Shrunk. And you live the svarim that you have. Uboy loyendim toyre mekayim es mitzvahs atoyre. Betachlis as a hearers, right? Exemplary of mekayim the mitzvahs. Bayis kozeh komoyu kekoydish hakodoshim. So this, Rabbi said, this is just a little bit of a glimpse to see how far a yid can go. Again, living in this physical world and yet be able to elevate yourself to the madrigas. Let's take just another minute that we have mamish over here to point out. Talking about here, Ramchal talks about being careful. Whatever you do, it's not enough that it's kosher. Just make sure don't do it excessive. Eating and drinking, whatever, drinking wine, whatever it should be. In this world that we're talking about. The truth is, talking about food, yes, food can elevate us. At the same time, also, food can also destroy people. The fact is that we're living in a culture, by the way, if you see a statistic, that Americans actually waste 27% of the food available for consumption. It's a gefilche thing. It comes out something that about 30 million tons of food is wasted every year. And in England, people basically, they lose or they toss away about a third of the amount of the food that they buy. The cheshbon was that if we recover 25% of the food that we waste in America, you could feed 20 million people. Anyway, the statistics go on and on and on. Here, that's just to throw statistics. Just to show you, we're blessed that we have, even though there are people that who don't have to eat. But Baruch Hashem, the Klal Yisrael has the mid of chesed in so many different ways to help out other people. There's a yid by the name of Mendel Teitelbaum, not related to the Teitelbaum, the Rebbe's, but he spoke about his father. His father's name was Yitzchak David Teitelbaum. His father was Yitzchak David Teitelbaum. So he mentioned regarding that his father, that it was a wealthy Jew. I mean, we're talking about a yid that who lives in England. But his father was nifter already, and he was a ger chosid. So he used to give a substantial amount of money, he said, to the ger rebbe. And by the way, you know, the ger chosidim have a special place in Arad, which is in the south side of Eretz Yisrael, which is a quite known area. And this yid, Rabbi Yitzchak David, used to be a strong supporter of that community, of the Arad community of the ger rebbe, which is in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. So this Mendel once heard a story about his father, but he was very hesitant to ask his father about it, whether it's true, because it concerned the concentration camps and didn't want to bring up memories of his father during the concentration camps. So he was really hesitant to ask his father about something that he heard about his father during that time. And Lameisa eventually found the courage to ask his father if it was true. And what is that? He found out that when his father was in Auschwitz, he says, and he was given his bread ration, as the Yidden were given, you know, a small amount of bread every morning. So his father would cut it in half. He would keep only one half for himself, and the other half he would distribute bit by bit to other inmates who were starving. This was on a daily basis. Whatever he got, he only took half for himself, and the other half with mamish he would distribute little by little to other people. So he asked his father if that was true. So the father asked if that was true, but his father said, I want to explain to you. He says, where I got that midah from? Where did I get that midah? It's a tremendous mesiras nefesh. Now the little bit that you had, you need it for your own survival. Where you get it from? So he told his son that he grew up in a little town in Poland called Szeps. A town in Poland called Szeps. So he says, those days he said there were no refrigerators, no freezers. So a person could only prepare enough food for that day. That's the way it was. He said it was a cold, snowy night and his mother made a soup for supper with little pieces of chicken and vegetables. He was one of nine children and he watched how his mother served her husband and then the children. And just before his mother, she was about to serve herself, there's a series of loud knocks on the door. One of the children opens the door. There's a poor beggar covered with snow and slush. He barges in and exclaims in Yiddish, Gebt's Essen. He says, give me some food. Mother told him to go into a room to wash up. Mamish, you're coming out from all that slush. While he says he was washing up, he didn't see what was happening. Because he went in the other room there, whatever room they had there to wash up. He says, I saw my mother do the following, he says. He said, my mother, says, took an empty bowl and went around to each child. She removed a spoonful of soup from each of their bowls and put into the empty bowl. He said, then she also took from her own bowl. She took a spoonful of her own bowl and from her husband's bowl. He says, by the time the poor man returned, he had a full bowl of hot soup. He says, so David said, this is what I learned from my mother, and this is the way. He said, he knew no other way. This, even in Auschwitz, is that meter. So he had a situation on both sides. There's no doubt that Major Bershom paid him back, that he became a wealthy Yid, you know, later on, like in England, that's where he lived. Because Lemaisa, he implemented that lesson that he saw at home, even in the most dreariest of times, the most difficult of times, but nevertheless, that meter remained. Let me just tell you, many years, you know, Rabbi David Hollander, I remember he was in the Bronx, in Mount Eden Center, Rav. He once said, you know, the Gemara says that, we're talking about Bitochen, but he had another pshat. He's a very good speaker. He once used to say like this, the Gemara says, Afila cherev chada munachas al tzavor shalodem, that even if the sword is already, a sharp sword is on your throat, what's the Gemara say? Al yimna atzmoy min arachmim, a person should never, right? Don't give up. Al yimna atzmoy, be misfalled to Hashem to the last moment. Al yimna atzmoy, do not hold back, right, from asking Rachmanas from God. Even if the sword is on your throat. He had another pshat. He said, in Auschwitz he saw that people were starving themselves, still had within themselves enough Rachmanas to give to others. Sometimes you say to yourself, I can have Rachmanas when I have enough what I have. Then I have room to have Rachmanas and others. But if I myself am in need, if I myself have a need to a point where it's kuach nefesh for myself, can I still find a little room in my heart to have rachmanis for others? I need all rachmanis for myself. So the halvers of pshat in the Gemara, he said, what was seen in Auschwitz, that afila cherev chado, even the sword is on your throat, al yimna asamim and rachmim, don't hold back from having rachmanis on others. You still have the ability to do it. And that's the kodesh of the yid.